The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Pikudei. This is the last Sedra of Sefer Shmos. Eile Pikudei HaMishkon. Mishkan Eidus, Asher Pukar Al Pi Meisher. These are the numbers of the Mishkan, the amounts of material which was necessary for the building of the Mishkan. Mishkan Eidus, the sanctuary of the testimony of the Torah. Asher Pukar Al Pi Meisher, which was counted through Meisher. Avodah Salavim B'Yari Somor Ben Aaron HaKohen. All of the Avodah, all of the service of the Levim, in the hand of Yisomor Ben Aaron HaKohen. In this Pasuk it states, Mishkan twice. Eile Pikudei HaMishkon, Mishkano Eidus. These are the numbers of the sanctuary of the testimony. Rashi brings, Shnei Pomim, Remez LeMikdosh, Shenis Mashkein, Bishnei Churbonin, Al Avanesehen Shel Yisrael. The word Mishkon has another meaning also. It means to be taken. For example, when someone gives a loan and he wants some security to hold, he takes from him a Mashkon. So Rashi says it comes as a remes, as a subtle indication to us, a subtle hint that the Mishkan twice will become a Mashkan, will be taken away from us. Twice, when the Mishkan will become the Beis HaMikdosh, it will be destroyed because of an Aseihan Shel Yisrael, the Averus of Yisrael. And this was the Churim and the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdosh through Bovel, and the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdosh through the Romans, of which exile we still are in. The Sefer Goraya asks a very good question here. If the Torah wanted to indicate to us that this Mishkan that we're building will be one day taken away from us, taken away twice, why does the Torah indicate it here? We've been speaking of the building of the Mishkan for a good number of sedras already. In Parshas Truma, in Parshas Tetzaveh, in Parshas Kisiso, in Vayakel. Finally, Pikudei, which is the last sedra which deals with the finalization of the building of the Mishkan. There the Torah indicates this to us here. Why? What did the Torah want to bring out with this? And this he answers, because the what caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, like Rashi says, Avanesehen, were our Averus, our desecrations, our transactions, transgressions. But what made the Mikdash vulnerable to such destruction was because we were sheltered by Ein Hora. Because the evil eye had a power over it. And we have a principle, Ein Hora Shelet Al Kol Dover Shebeminyan. On anything which is counted and calculated and is in exact amounts, the Ein Hora, the evil eye, has a power over it. And therefore, the Torah here is indicating to us what made it vulnerable. Because the Mishkan, everything was bemida ubeminyan. Everything was exacted out. Each amount of gold, each amount of silver, each amount of material, the measurement of each board. And this makes it vulnerable to the Ein Hora, to the evil eye. And this helped, because of our transactions, transgressions, destroy the Beis HaMikdosh. Therefore the Torah here writes, Eile Fekudei HaMishkon. These are the numbers of the Mishkon, these are the amounts of the Mishkon, and in this parsha, all of the exact numbers are mentioned here, and the exact calculations and amounts. And so was the Beis HaMikdash later when it was rebuilt at a greater, in a greater dimension by Shlomo HaMelech. Also, it was Hakol B'Mispor B'Midah, it was all exact and with numbers. So here where the Torah tells us this, it indicates to us that because of our transgressions, it will be taken away from us twice. This power we find also brought on another great tragedy in Jewish history. And that is that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and he saw the eagle Hazor, the golden calf, and this was just in Parshas Kishisa, which we just learned, he saw Klal Yisrael went away from the Torah and they worshipped idolatry. He took the luchos, the tablets, and he broke them. When the second tablets were given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, you come up to the mountain, come up alone. No one knew of it. And in the 40 days prior to Yom Kippur, he gave the second tablets to Moshe Rabbeinu. First tablets were given with great celebration. The whole nation came to the foot of the mountain. There were kelis ubarakim, great thunder and lightning, all types of miracles. All of the people saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down in a cloud of glory on top of the mountain. But the second tablets were given very, very quietly and very privately. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the first ones were nitnu bepumbia, they were given publicly and with a pirsum, with a great celebration. Shaltu b'ayin horeb. We see that the evil eye had an effect on it. Therefore, the second one, you come alone, I'm going to give very quietly and very privately, yofe hatznius. Because when it comes to tznius, when it comes to doing something privately, that's the best way. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. So from here we see this power of the Ayin Hora. We also had this in the beginning of Parshas Kishiso. And this also we read last week in Shul because it was Parshas Kolim. Kishiso Sreish B'nei Yisrael Ifkudehem, that when you count the numbers of the children of Israel, V'nosnu Ish Kefa Nafshe L'Hashem B'fkedei Shom, you should not count them blatantly, outright, explicitly. Rather, everyone should give a machzis ha-shekel, a half of a silver coin, and then you will count the coins. And then when you count the coins, and you're not counting them, there will not be a plague on them. So Rashi brings, shahaminyan shelet b'ayin hora, because when something is numbered, this leaves it vulnerable to the ayin hora, to the evil eye. V'hadever bo aleihem. And this can, chas v'sholem, heaven forbid, bring on a devil, a plague on them. And we see in the time of David that they counted the people and a plague came upon them. So therefore, in order that the Ayin Hora should not have an influence, an effect, don't count them explicitly, but just count, let everyone give a coin, and you'll count the coins. And we have many precedents of this in the Torah and in the Shas. We'll mention one or two. But just like we see, if something is numbered, the Ayin Hora has an effect. Same thing we see that if something is not numbered, and not only not numbered, but it's concealed from the eye, then the Ayin Hora does not only have an effect, but then it's closer to the dimension, to the level of brocha, of blessing. One source for this is in Parshas Vayichi, Memches Tezayin, when Yaakov Avinu wanted to give a brocha, he wanted to bench the children of Yosef. And he told them, "Amalach Agel Eisimi Kol Ro Yivorech Hasanorim VeYikore Behem Shmi VeShem Aveis Avram VeYitzchok." that the angel which has always redeemed me from all evil, let him bless these two lads. This was Ephraim and Manasseh. And let them be called by my name and the name of my father Abraham, my father's Abraham in Yitzchok. And they should multiply like fish within the land. He wanted them to multiply in great numbers, so he said they should multiply like fish. If he wanted them to multiply in great number, why like fish? So Rashi brings, Kidogim halalu sheporim verobim veinayin hore sholetes behem. They should multiply like fish. Why do fish multiply so much? Because they're concealed from the eye. We cannot see them. They're in the water. They're underwater. Because they're concealed from the eye. So they're not vulnerable to the ayin hara. And therefore they multiply. And brocha is found upon in them. The whole concept of brocha is growth. See? It's an abundance. But the ayin hara is contrary. It limits it. So if something is concealed from the eye, and then the ayin hara cannot have an effect on it, then it multiplies and it grows. Therefore he gave them a brocha, that they should be yidgulerei v'kerev oretz, they should multiply like fish. And we have a Gemara in Bamitzia. The Gemara brings in Perek HaMafki Daf Membeis. V'amar Reb Yitzchok, Ein habrocha metzuya lebedover asomu imina ayin. Brocha is found only in something which is concealed from the eye. Shenemar yitzav Hashem itcho as habrocha beasomecho. It's a posuk in Devorim. It's Devorim Chof Ches that states that in the brochas, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving brochas to Klal Yisrael, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will command that brocha should be found beasomecho. Brocha should be found by Somecho and your grain houses. So the Gemara darshins the word Asomecho, not only in your grain houses, but from the word Somoi. The word Asomecho also means Somoi in concealed places. Where your crops will be concealed and not so revealed, then there'll be Brocha. But if it's too revealed, then there will not be brocha. And actually the Gemara brings in Masechta Baba Basra that it says, Osala Odom, a person is not allowed to stand and gaze too much at someone else's field when the crops are in their fullness, because he's liable to cast the nine hor on it. And the person wants his crops, they should be concealed, not so revealed. Tana de Beir Bishmael, Rabbi Shmuel says, "Ein habrocha metzuya ela bedover she'ein ha'ayin she'letes bo." Rabbi Shmuel says, "Brocha is found only on something that the eye has no shlita; it has no power over." And he brings from the same pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, "Ha'heilech lomud es greinei," when a person harvests his crops. Then he brings it in, and he threshes it. And now he's bundling it up, and he's stocking it up, and he wants to take count of how big the crop was. So there's a halacha that he makes a brocha. Ha'heilech lomu des greinei, eime yirotzein b'fanecho Hashem elakeinu, shetishlach brocha b'mais yodeinu. He makes a brocha, and he says that it should be the will of the Almighty, that he should give brocha in the work of our hands. Hiskel lomu, once he starts to count up his crops and to measure it, then he says, blessed is the Almighty who sends brocha into these crops. Modav, if he's already counted up his crops, and then he makes the brocha, then it's a tefillah, it's a prayer which is unnecessary. It's a prayer in vain. Because once he counts it up already, and it's already numbered,
then no brocha can take effect, can be chal further. As long as it's not so explicit, as long as it's not so revealed. So brocha can come and add to it. Rashi says, what kind of brocha are we speaking about here? Shemizborech v'rabe me'ilov. That it will grow by itself. See? It will become abundant. But once it's already counted up, then he cannot make the brocha anymore. He can make a brocha of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave him, but not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him, because it's already totally numbered, and calculated, and revealed. Because of this, it was always the custom of Klal Yisrael, especially in the old days when Klal Yisrael was very aware of what the Torah teaches us, to be bereach, see, min ha-golui, u-min ha-pirsum, to shy away from too many public things. And yofe ha-tznius, and it should be yofe ha-tznius, like the Gemara says, that the best thing, if you're going to do something, do it quietly, do it privately. Unless there's a specific reason which demands that it should be done publicly. Gemara says, for example, person does mitzvahs, should do them quietly. Hatznea leches im Hashem lekecho. The prophet told Klal Yisrael, what does he want from you? He wants you to walk with him. But how should you walk with him? Hatznea leches im Hashem lekecho. You should walk with him very privately, very quietly. What you do should be between you and the Almighty. It should not be between you and the whole world. Unless the situation demands it. Sometimes the situation demands it. Mora brings, for example, the Rishonim bring, that sometimes if you do a mitzvah privately, you cannot inspire others to do also. If you'll do it publicly, then others will follow. In such a case, then it's a mitzvah. But still, they cautioned us also always that we must be careful of the pirsum. We must be careful of too much public exposure. Just like, could there be anything greater than the giving of the Torah the second time? Tablets. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the first time I gave it with great public exposure, look what happened. Now I'm going to give it quietly. No one will know about it except you and Moshe Rabbeinu. Except Moshe Rabbeinu. Yofe Atznius. This is contrary to the nations of the world. Nations of the world, especially in the generation that we live today, where public relations and advertisements and public exposure is the order of the day. This is Western culture. So the nations of the world are bereach. They pursue anything that's revealed, that's public. They don't like to do things privately. Newspapers, books, exposés, instant world communication. And there's a reason for this. We do not have time to go into it at length this evening. We've gone into this other time, but there's a reason for it. Because one is the keach, one is the power of Yaakov, and the other is the power of Esav. It states that by Esav was the ish sodeh, tzayid b'fiv. Esav was the one who had the power to speak to his father and to deceive him. Whatever he did, he projected. Like the Chazal tell us that Esav was nimshala, he was exemplified as a chazir, as a swine. Why? Because the swine is an impure animal, but at the same time, most animals will keep their hoofs under themselves, he'll put his hoofs out. And he'll say, look, I have kosher hoofs, because his hoofs are kosher. They split hoofs. So this quality to show the world, not to be, Tomei he is, he's impure, but to show the world, that was the quality of Esav, to show the world. And Western culture comes from Rome, Rome comes from Esav. So this is the quality to show the world. Not so important what you are, it's more important what you look to be. In other words, this is the world of chitzenius, of superficiality. Yaakov, on the other hand, says Yaakov was Yeshev Oholim. He dwelt inside, in the tent of Torah. Torah is just the opposite of superficiality. Torah is not chitzenius, it's not exterior, it's interior. Yaakov represented the interior, what was basically and what was truly good or not good. Esav represented what looked good or what didn't look good. And therefore we have to be very careful, Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Novi said, Hatznei alecha sim Hashem alekecho. Walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but do it quietly, do it privately. And this is why here the Torah tells us, indicates to us, that the Beis HaMikdosh was vulnerable. When it comes to this subject of Ein Hora, the evil eye, and many Jews are very aware of it, and we are instructed that we should be careful. Don't leave yourself too open to public notice, lest there'll be an Ein Hora. There's another very important facet, though, that the Chazal instruct us that we also must be very careful not to, that our own eyes should not be an Ein Hora, an Ein Hara. That the evil eye should not be a quality in ourselves. Sometimes we are too concerned with the other person's evil eye. But the Chazal have instructed us that we must also be very careful that our own eyes should not have a power of evil in them towards other people. Where do we find this? In the Mishnah Masechet Ovis. Mishnah states in Perek Sheni Mishnah Ches, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai kibel mihil mishamai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, he received Torah from Hillel and Shammai. Then the Mishnah continues, Chamisha talmidim hayulo Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai had five disciples, five very great disciples. Ve'eluhem, Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yesi HaKain, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel, Rabbi Lezer ben Aroch. These were the five. Who are your main Shivchon? He would count and bring out their praises. And on each one, he would say what their specialty, what their greatness is. I'm going to just mention two that's relevant to our discussion this evening. Lezer ben Hurkanus was bor seed she'enem apei tibo. We have a medrash that's called Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, a very, very well-known medrash, and it's believed the author was Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said on him, he's a bor seed she'enem apei tibo. He's like a cemented pit that does not lose one drop of water. You have a cemented pit, you fill it up with water, you'll never lose one drop. This was Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. So great was his wisdom that he never lost anything, never forgot anything from what he was taught his entire life. So this is what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said on Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. Incident. Then, on Ablozer ben Aroch, he said, Mayan Hamuzgaber. He's like a spring that's ever growing, that becomes stronger all of the time. Mayan Hamuzgaber. So these were two qualities which he said on two of his five Talmidim. Now he had many Talmidim, but these were his five greatest. And these were the two qualities which he said on these two. Who are your Emer? He would say, Im you kol chachmi Yisrael bekaf moznaim, Belezer ben Hunis bekaf shniyim achriyas kulam. All of the wise Israel, you would place on one scale. And Elozer ben Hurkinus, that was the one that was Em Abit, never forgot a drop of his wisdom, you would place on the other scale, Machriyas Kulam, he would outweigh all of them. Abishol, amen. Abishol says no. Mishmai. There's a dispute here on what did actually Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai said. Abishol says no, he didn't say that. He said, Im you kol chachmi Yisrael bekaf maznaim velezer ben Hurkinus, afimohen, velezer ben Aroch bekaf shniyim achriyas kulam. He said differently. That if you take all the wise of Israel and Rablezer ben Hurkinus, and you put him on one scale, and you would take Rablezer ben Aroch, that was the one, the Mayan Amisgaber, the one that was the ever-growing spring of water, and you would place him on the second scale, he would outweigh all of them. So there's a dispute here on which quality did Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai say was the greatest. Was it Rablezer ben Hurkinus, who was a borsin sheinam abe tipa, a cemented cistern that never lost a drop of his wisdom? Or was it Rablezer ben Aroch, who was the Mayan Hamizgaber, the ever-growing spring of water? Then the Mishnah tells us further. He said to them, Tzuru izi hiderech teva shidovik bo'odom. He called in these five greatest disciples and he said, I would like you, all of you, to tell me which is the greatest quality, which is the greatest characteristic that a man should pursue. And it will bring him on a derech teva, it will bring him on a good way. So again, we'll not go through all five, we'll just go with these two. Blezer ben Hurkinus said, Ayin Tova, a good eye. A man should constantly work to develop in himself a good eye. What does that mean? That he sees something, he should look at it always from the good aspect, not from the bad aspect. He should be an optimist, not a pessimist. He should always look favorably at someone, not disfavorably. He shouldn't have a critical eye, but rather a complimentary eye. Always look for the best in people. Always look for the best in situations. This Rablezer ben Hurkinus says, he told his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, that if you want me to sum up from the entire Torah a single motivating factor which will bring a person in the good way, then it should be an Ein Tov, a good eye. Excuse me, could I just ask someone maybe to go and close those top windows? I think it's too drafty. Stephen, would you close those top windows there? I think it's too drafty there. Then he asked Rablezer ben Aroch, what do you say? Rablezer ben Aroch said, Lev Tev, a good heart. That a person must have in himself, must develop in himself a good heart. That's the single motivator that will bring him on a good way. A good heart, which from there will come out all good qualities. Then he asked his disciples. Then Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, after hearing all of the five opinions from each of the five disciples, so he said, "Rei ani as divrei Elozer ben Aroch mi divreichem." See, actually, I'll mention some of them here. Rabbi Elozer ben Hyrcanus said a good eye. Rabbi Shua said a good chover, a good friend. Rabbi Yossi said a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon said the quality to always be able to see what is going to place, see what can come from a situation. And Rabbi Elozer said a good heart. So said Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, the Rebbe said, "Rei ani as divrei Elozer ben Aroch mi divreichem." I choose Rabbi Elozer ben Aroch, what he said, from all that you said at heart. Shebechlal dvorov divreichem, because everything that you have said is encompassed, is contained in what he said, a good heart. Then he asked them, "Tzuru eisederech roshi srachik mimenu ha'odam." Give to me, tell me, what is the worst quality that a person can have that will bring him in an evil way, and therefore he should be cautioned to distance himself from it as much as possible. So the Blazer said, "Ein ro," an evil eye. He was the one whose good eye is the best quality. So he said, an evil eye is the worst quality. When a person looks at something and he always sees the worst part of every situation, he's a great pessimist. He's always critical of what he sees. He never sees anything good. He says that's the worst quality that a man can have. And then the others all gave their example. They all gave what they thought. And Rabbi Elozer ben Aroch said, "Levra," an evil heart. A heart which desires evil all of the time. That's the worst quality. Omalehem, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said to them, "Rei ani as divrei Elozer ben Aroch mi divreichem." Again, I choose the words of Elozer ben Aroch, the one who said an evil heart is the worst quality, shebechlal dvorov divreichem. Because everything that you have said is all contained in what he said. Then there's a Mishnah a little further that's not from the same Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, but also mentions, it's in Mishnah Yud Aleph, also tells us something about this Ein Ro. Rabbi Shua says, "Ein Ro v'yetzohara v'sina sabriyish." If a person has a bad eye, or a yetzohara, or he has the yetzohara, that's the evil inclination, or sina sabriyish, or if he has hatred towards people, he's a person that's miserable and he doesn't like other people, these three qualities will drive a man out of the world. If a person has a bad eye, like we mentioned, and he has a yetzer hara, he doesn't control his yetzer hara's evil inclination, and he has sinas habriyos, doesn't like people, this will drive a person out of the world. In the end, this will destroy a person. Now this Ein Hara that we're speaking about, so we see that the sages cautioned us. We must be careful that others should not have an Ein Hara, an evil eye towards us. And at the same time, we must be also very careful that we don't have evil eyes towards other people. Now what is it? Say, what does it do? Firstly, if a person has a bad eye, sages tells us this comes from Tzoras HaAyin. If he has difficulty seeing good in other people, when he sees something good in other people, what will happen? this will awaken in him a kino, an envy. This will awaken in him a sina, a hatred. This will awaken in him a nekima, a desire for revenge. Person who doesn't see good in people, doesn't see good in things. Tzoras ha'ayin. He begrudges other people. He cannot tolerate to see success by other people. He cannot tolerate to see brocha, a happiness by other people. So this will awaken in him an envy. This will awaken hatred. Or this will awaken chemdo, where he wants to take those things from those other people. Or in the chemo, see, he wants to take revenge from these other people. All of these types of machshavas. Mara says, Leisosura acharei neichem, acharei levavchem, acharei levavchem, acharei neichem. You should not go after your eyes or your heart. Einayim reis, v'alev chemed. The eyes see, and then the heart desires. The eyes act as the spies. Just like an army sends scouts into another land to find what's doing. And from there they decide what action they should take. So the same thing are the eyes of a human being. They are his spies, his scouts. He sees what's happening, and then from there, the heart decides what to do. Buddha said, must be very careful, therefore. So if a person has an ayin ra, a bad eye, when he looks at someone else, and if he sees something good by him, this is going to awaken all types of bad qualities in him. This can affect the other person. This can cause damage to the other person. Why? It's not difficult for us to understand, because what would be, for example, if someone gives you a brocha, if someone says mazel tov, say you should have a good mazel, or someone gives you a brocha and says you should have atzlocha, you should have success, have a good day. Does it mean anything or not? It must mean something, otherwise why do we wish all the time? We see someone, we wish him a good morning, we wish him a good afternoon, a good night, a good Shabbos, a good Yantif. Must mean something. And the Gemara says, Al tia birchas hejit kalabeinecho, a brocha from another person, even if it's just an ordinary person, a great person certainly, but even if it's just an ordinary person, Al tia kalabeinecho, should not take it lightly. A brocha has a power. When you say good morning to someone, if you mean it, it can do something. We have the Kahanim. It's a mitzvah zesi, a positive commandment in the Torah that the Kahanim should be mavorach. They should bless Klal Yisrael. If they didn't do anything, what are they doing it for? The same thing, then heaven forbid, what would happen if someone then, instead of giving a brach, he gives a curse? Curses someone. Can also have an influence. Therefore, if someone sees something that you have, and he has a belly, and this starts to awaken in him and arouse in him all of these emotions and all of these desires, what it says, kino, comes from the eyes. We always, the illustration, the world speaks of green eyes. It's a very good example. Because jealousy comes from the eyes. It's interesting that every animal was given a specific quality that a human being has. Except the human being has all of the qualities. Animals were given a specific quality. The Vilna Gaon writes in a place that the quality of kina, of jealousy, which animal was given that in its greatest extent? He says the chatul, the cat. And if you see a cat is very, very possessive. Very possessive over his master and over everything he has. And people say jealous is a cat. And the cat has green eyes. And the cat has very startling eyes. It's always watching. You can see even in the dark. So if a person looks at something that you have or something that you did, and he arouses all types of these thoughts, these machshavas, of raw, it can have an effect. It's not the same as a curse, because he's not explicitly saying anything, but still it's a machshava raw. He's thinking badly about you. He's thinking badly about what you have. And therefore the Chazal cautioned us. They said that if you want to count your money, count it privately, not in front of someone else. Don't flout your successes in front of other people. Whatever is public is more vulnerable to the eyes. And whatever vulnerable to the eyes, there might be an ayin raw there also. And with that will come these machshavas raos, these bad thoughts, and they can have an influence. So this is the simple meaning of what the power of an ayin hara is. Now this is in regards to another person's eyes towards you. But as we mentioned, just like the Chazal warned us, be careful from someone else's evil eye, here they are warning us, be careful of your own evil eye. Reb Lezer ben Hurkanes said that the greatest quality that a man can have is a good eye, and the worst quality that a man can have is an evil eye, and it will destroy him from the world. And why? Because it will bring to him all of these qualities. If he has an evil eye, so then from he will become full of kino, of jealousy, and of hatred, and of desire to want what's not his, and of revenge. And all of these qualities are destructive. They're more destructive to himself than they are to other people. And in the end, they will destroy him. Therefore, Reb Lezer ben Hurkanes said, what is the thing that a person must be most careful from? That he should not have in his own personality an ayin ro, an eye that always sees bad. But he must always try to see good in others and in other situations. I will go one step further. A great emphasis must be placed on what the power of an eye is. An eye, even though it's physical, all of the eye tissue and all of the particular makeup of the eye is physical, but the power of sight, our sages tell us, is spiritual. Where do we see this? This the Gemara brings in Masechet Nido. A Gemara we've quoted often. Gemara brings in Masechet Nido and Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Excuse me, it's Lamed Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Shleishi Shutfim Yesh Ba'odam. Man is made up from contributions of three partners: HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, the Oviv, a father, the Imai, and a mother. Man is made up of contributions of three partners: Oviv, Mazriya Levin. Father gives in a white seed. And from here comes five qualities, five components. Atzomes, the bone structure. Gidim, the nerve structure. Tzfonayim, the fingernails. Meach shebereshei, the brain tissue. The levin shebaayin, and the white of the eye. Imay, mazras edim. The mother gives forth a red seed, shemimenu, and she gives forth five components from here. From her comes five components. Or, boser, dam, sares, v'shoche shebaayin. The skin, the flesh, the hair, the blood, and the black part, the dark part of the eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the third partner, the Almighty, he gives forth 10 qualities. He gives Ruach, Shama, the spirit, the soul, cluster upon him, the radiance of the face, Riyas HaAyin, the power of sight, Shmiyas HaOzen, the power to hear, Dibur Peh, the power to speak, Hiluch Raglayim, the power of movement, and Das Bino Vahaskil, and the power of thought. So there are 20 components given to the human being. 5 from the father, 5 from the mother, and 10 from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The father is physical. So therefore all of these components that he gives are physical. The mother is physical. So all that she gives is physical. But the Almighty is spiritual. Therefore everything that he gives is spiritual. And this is what's brought out immediately afterwards. Kiven shehigiyas zman lipotah min ha'olam. When it comes time for a person to depart from this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu neitel chelkei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his chelek. What happens when a man dies? The body doesn't vanish. The body's still here. So what happens? Man was made from a physical body, and he was made from a spiritual soul. When a man dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the spiritual soul, and the body remains here. And the body then is returned to the earth that it came from, because man was made from the dust of the earth and he was given a spiritual soul. So the Gemara here tells us that once it comes time for man to die, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all of his things back. And the contributions of the father and the mother he leaves before them. So we'll find that everything that the father and the mother gave, if it's the bones or the nerves or the fingernails or the brain tissue or the white of the eye, or if it's the skin or the flesh or the blood or the hair or the black of the eye, that's all still here. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the neshama, the soul away, all of the 10 components that the Almighty gave, they disappear with it. And we see the radiance of the face disappears. The soul and the spirit disappears. The power of sight and the power of hearing, even though the eye tissue is there, but no longer can you see. The power of speech, the power to move, the power of thought. So from here we see that the power of sight, even though the eye might be physical, but the power of sight, that's spiritual. That comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very important factor. That means that its source is in the soul. Its source is in the soul. This, when a person sees, the source is in the soul. It's not physical. The Maral writes, not only is it not physical, but he says it would be impossible that with such a small organ as the eye, that a person can see so much with, if it was only physical. There would have to be spiritual quality in it. And he also writes, from all of the physical senses that man has, the most spiritual of all of them is the power of sight. From all of the physical senses that man has, the most spiritual of all of them is the power of sight. This means that it has the greatest attachment to the soul. Comes into the body because the soul came into the body. And when the soul leaves, it leaves with it. This is the eye. And for centuries, up to modern times, the eye has been a great miracle in medical history. Always constantly learning more about it. Now, what does this mean? This is an important factor. This means that if a person would do something with an organ or a part of the body that was basically physical, then its effect on the human being would basically be physical. But if a person does something with a part of a body that has a spiritual attachment, then its effect is going to affect very strongly the spirit of the man. And if the eye is an organ from all of the senses, has the greatest spiritual attachment, then when a person does something with it, if it's for good or for evil, this will be its effect on the spirit and the soul of the person. It's interesting also that the Maral brings, we find that the sages always used the word Riya to see, not only in reference to the physical eye, but also in reference to the intellect of wisdom, which is already not physical, it's spiritual. For example, Dovid HaMelech wrote, Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon wrote in Keheles, Libi ro harbe chokhma, my heart has seen much wisdom. Or the Gemara usually many times mentions, like here we have, Re'a ani es divrei pleni, that I see, I choose to see, I agree with him more, and there it says, I see. Because seeing has a great spiritual quality in it. Because of this, a person must be very careful. He must be very careful with his eyes, what he chooses to look at and what he chooses not to look at. Because if you touch something, so that's to be physical. But if you look at something, that's going to make an imprint on your brain. It's going to make an imprint on your soul. And if you see something good, then the spirit will flourish from this. If you see something evil, then you're attaching your spirit and your soul to it. Therefore, the Chazal place great emphasis on the power of sight. It could be for this reason that we find Yaakov, when Yosef became lost, and for years Yaakov didn't know if Yosef was alive. And then when he heard, finally, that his great son Yosef was alive, Yaakov didn't merely mention his great happiness that he's alive, but he mentions in three places that he wants to see him. He wants to go and see Yosef. In Parshas Vayigash, Memhei Chof Ches, Yaakov says, Vayome Yisrael, and Yaakov said, Rav O Yosef Binichoy, my son Yosef is still alive, Elcho Ve'ereno, Beterem Omus, I will go and I will see him before I die. This is what Yaakov wanted to do before he died. I want to go put my eyes on Yosef. I want to see him. It's one place. Again, in Parshas Vayigash, Memvov Posuk Lamed, when they finally met, Vayome Yisrael el Yosef, Yisrael said to Yosef, Amusa hapo'am. The Targum says, Amusa, Amusa hapo'am. Ilu ano mois zimno chodo, menachem ano. Even if I would have died, acharei ra'isi es ponecho, But now that I have looked at your face, I have seen your face, ki otcho chai, that you are still alive, this would be a nechoma to me. Even if I would die. But now I have comfort, ki ro'iso ponecho, because I have seen your face. Well, what was he so interested in seeing his face? See? Because I have seen your face. And then a third time, in Parshas Vayechi, Memches Yud Aleph, Bayome Yisrael El Yosef, Yisrael said to Yosef, Re'oi fonecho lefiloti, to see your face, I never thought I would be able to. And now Hashem has even allowed me to see your children. So we see constantly here that Yaakov was not only interested that Yosef was alive, but he wanted to see him. Why did he want to see him? And especially his face he wanted to see. When you see a person's face, you see him, the Chazal tell us. You don't see a person without seeing his face. For example, if you see a crowd of people and they all have their backs to you, you have not seen anyone. If one turns around and you recognize him, all of a sudden you've seen him. Mora says that the radiance which represents the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem, the individuality of this person, it's on his face, no place else. And when you see something, someone, this is a tremendously close attachment. Because since the power of Ri is spiritual, and it comes from the soul, this means that person's face is imprinted on his soul. And this is a close attachment. And this is what Yaakov wanted. He wanted to see Yosef again. He wanted the attachment of seeing. Besides the fact that Yosef was so righteous, states on the Betzitkai that he never changed, he never wavered. And the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to see. A great person, a righteous person, is a mitzvah to see. And it states also a posuk, V'yu einecho reyes es morecho. You should see that your eyes see your teacher. Mora says that when you learn wisdom, when you learn Torah by someone, not all the time are you in a situation where you can see him. Right? Many times you have to learn from a sefer, from something that he wrote, or that you have to learn from correspondence with him, or maybe just from hearing from him. So you have no alternative. But the Gemara says it's not the same. It says that when they would teach Torah, there was Kerem B'Yavne. They used to sit in a half circle. And the Rebbe would sit in the center. Why? So that everyone could see the Rebbe. Because it states, V'yu einecho reyes es morecho. Because in order to receive the wisdom, you must try to see his face. And this is what we're speaking about. Because with the power of sight, that's a Pesach, that's an avenue to the soul. And if you're seeing the Torah coming from the Rebbe, not only with your ears, not only with your mind, but your physical sight, that helps to bring it to the soul. And the converse also, then. This means that we must guard ourselves very carefully from seeing things that are not good. And the Gemara says that. The Gemara says, "Al yistakel b'pnei rosho." If you happen to be confronted by a rosho, by an evil person, the Gemara says, "Al yistakel b'pnei rosho." Try not to look into his face. Look away. Because that also, that sight, will go into the soul. And certainly, unfortunately, today, where everything is sight, right? You have your newspapers and magazines, and we live in a world of where we're hammered with sight and with sound. Right? It's unfortunate. Because all of this, and children too, this is all going into the brain, and it's going into the soul. And modern psychology many times wants to tell us, no, makes no difference. Won't have any effect on them. Not so. Not according to the Chazal. Therefore, Blezer Ben Hortinus said that the greatest power that a person can have is a good eye. Now it's interesting why he chose that. The Maral tells us something very profound. Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai was a giant. He was the leader of the whole nation of Klal Yisrael during the time of the destruction of the temple. He was a gigantic personality. And if he singled out five of his students, then you know these five were geniuses. Each was a genius in his own way. And when he saw Reb Lezer ben Hurkinus and he said that he's a bor she'ein ma'abed tipo, he's a pit that cemented that will not lose one drop of water. This means that he was full of chokhmah, he was full of wisdom and never forgot anything. The fact is, the Gemara brings him a sechta sukkah. The Gemara says, "And Reb Lezer ben Hurkinus miyomov le'oma adove shalei shoma mipi rabbi." Reb Lezer ben Hurkinus would never say anything over in Torah that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. Only what he heard from his Rebbe. And he was able to do that because he never forgot anything in his life. So when Rabbi Yochanan saw this, he saw that this is something which is extraordinary. See? Something which is not in accordance to nature. And what did this represent? This represented something not physical. Why? Because for a bore, a pit, not to lose a drop of water, that means that there'll never be loss. There'll never be evaporation. It's impossible on the physical level. Everything in the physical level eventually will come to some type of loss, some type of decay. And this means nothing was lost. Nothing was changed. Physical world is constantly influenced by change. As long as the sun moves, and the sun moves every second, the world moves every second, so it's constantly influenced by change and by loss. The sun's powers evaporate. And he said, no, he's a system that doesn't lose a drop of water. So what did he mean? He said that his power of the soul is so great that it supersends physical limitations, and therefore there's no loss by him. He's never lost anything. From the time he was a child, every word of Torah and every thought of Torah he never lost. And this is what he saw in Reb Lezer ben Hurkinus. And this is why Reb Lezer ben Hurkinus said that when a person has to walk through this physical world, what should he look for in order to bring him in a good way? He said a good eye. Because the eye comes from the soul. The eye is the physical passage to the soul. He says if you have an evil eye, it will destroy your soul. A good eye, this will cause the soul to flourish. This is what Reb Lezer ben Hurkinus said. Then there was Reb Lozer ben Aroch. In Reb Lozer ben Aroch, he saw a different quality. It was not a quality. He also was full of Torah, full of wisdom. But it was not a quality where he never forgot anything. Now, see, he was on a human physical level where people forget. Even if we don't forget, sometimes we understand something one way and then a little differently another time. But what did he have? He had a different quality. That was, he was able to constantly be mishachi, constantly grow wiser. If you would tell him one thing from himself, he would make 10 things from that. Constantly he was able to grow in learning, to grow in Torah. He was a mayin hamizgaber. He was like a spring that never ran out. Not only it didn't run dry, it became stronger. Always gaining more strength. This is what he saw in Blessed Ben Aruch. Now, what does this depict? A source. What is the uniqueness of a spring that will always run? It's coming from a source which is unending. So this speaks of a source. Blazer ben Hurkinus didn't have this. He didn't have this constant, ever-growing, ever-creative source. But on the other hand, he never forgot anything. Blazer ben Aruch, he didn't remember everything in the world, but he was ever-growing. He had growth. This speaks of a source. He had a tremendous source in his mind, in his soul. This is why he said that the best quality that a person should look for is a good heart, Lev Tov. Because the heart is the source of the human being. What gives life to the entire human being? What is the focal point? What is the merkaz? What is the central point of the human being? The heart. This nourishes the human being. This is its source. And that's why he emphasized the heart, while the other emphasized the eye. There were two opinions, what's better? What's better, to never lose anything that you ever heard, or to be able to constantly renew, create creative powers? And there was a dispute here as to which is better. But then Reb Yechon ben Zakkai said, Re'a ani es divrei Elozer. He says, I choose the words of Reb Elozer, a lev tov, a good heart. He says, that's better. And the worst thing is an evil heart. Why? He says, not because it's no more important than the eye, but shebichlal divreichem dvor bichlal dvorov divreichem. Because in what he said is contained all that you said. Because where is this? Where does a good eye come from? A good eye comes from a good heart. And where does an evil eye come from? An evil eye comes from an evil heart. Therefore, we see from here, an eye that was given to the person, a person must deal with very carefully. As it states, Le'sesura acharei, levavchem acharei nechem. You should not go after your heart, you should not go after your eyes, if it's not for good. The eye has a tremendous power. It has a tremendous power against others. It has a tremendous power against one himself. It has a tremendous power for good. It has a tremendous power for bad. It can become creative. It can be destructive. It can drive a man out of the world. And the source of the eye is the heart. And therefore, if a man wants to develop a good eye, he has to develop a good heart. He has to develop goodness in himself. What he wants good for others. He wants benefit, he wants success from others. So when he sees good, he'll be happy. It's similar to when Moshe did not want to accept the shlichus, the mission from the Almighty, because he said Aaron, he thought Aaron would feel badly because he's the younger brother and Aaron's the older brother, and Aaron would feel badly, he would be jealous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Aaron has a good heart, don't worry about him, because when he will come to you, hinei When he sees you, he will rejoice in his heart. And the eye has a source to the soul. It is not physical. The tissues of the eye are physical. And that's contributed by the father and the mother. The father contributes the white tissues, and the mother contributes the dark tissues. But the keach ariyah, the power of sight, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes. And that's why we find when it comes time for a man to depart this world, the physical tissues are still there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his portion. It's a passage to the soul. Therefore, anything the eye sees, it brings to the heart, it brings to the soul, it makes an imprint. If you see evil, it'll be destructive. If you see goodness, it'll be beneficial, it'll be a brocha. And the same thing in regards to others, what a person can do with his eye. These are some insights into the power of the eye of the person that a Chazal guide us in. And this is what Blazer ben Hurkin has said. He said that Eze Derech, what should a person choose in this world if he wants to go through with goodness and be happy? He must look and see good. Don't be too critical. See the good aspect of things. I remember when I was in the yeshiva many years ago, there was an older bochra, an older student, very, very good, very fine person. Today he's a rov of great stature. And everyone liked him. Everyone always liked him. But nobody ever expressed as to why. And thinking in retrospect, he was the type of person that had something good always to say about anyone. Whenever you came to him, he would always praise you. He never told you what you weren't doing or what you were doing not right. But he always found what you were doing good. He always found the good aspects. And this made him one of the most beloved ones in the yeshiva. This was a good eye. He always saw the good in people. He always saw the good in situations. Not the evil. We should all be zeicher that we should be guarded from ayin hara of others, but even more important, that we should be guarded from the ayin hara of ourselves, and we should develop in ourselves an ayin tov and a lev tov.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.